One of these days I'll learn not to do high songs in the morning. When I was getting ready for this sermon, those of you that were here last time I preached, didn't bring Bozo this time, and sadly, the day after I preached that sermon, my mom sent me a story from the news back home that the actor who played Bozo the Clown died at 89 years old. And I was like, my goodness. And then a couple days later, I got a call, or a text actually, from Hattie. And so because of that, I had to change my message this morning, because she said that after Bob found out that Bozo died after my last sermon, he said, tell him don't be preaching any sermons on me. So I had to cancel my Be a Bob sermon that I had planned. But Hattie, if Bob ever starts getting out of line, I've still got that sermon typed up, and we can take care of that for you. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't type that up. But it is really true, though. Bozo did die after, so I don't know. I guess I got to watch what I preach from now on. But anyways, the story this morning is one that's familiar, I'm sure. And when I was growing up and in Sunday school and stuff, this was one of my favorite Bible stories to do, because whenever we did it, all the little kids that were in the class would always have to act it out. And it's a story I'm sure that'll be familiar. And like I usually say, if it's one of those familiar stories, a lot of times I think we just kind of gloss over them because we've heard them so many times before that we failed to stop and really look at it and see what we can learn new and fresh from it. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I'll be in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, and got about 15 minutes. I'm just going to read through this real quick. Like I said, it's a familiar story, but I want to read, starting in verse 13. It says, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua approached him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, I have now come as commander of the Lord's army. Then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground in worship and asked him, what does my Lord want to say to his servant? The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And Joshua did that. Now Jericho was strongly fortified because of the Israelites, no one leaving or entering. The Lord said to Joshua, look, I've handed Jericho its king and best soldiers over to you. March around the city with all of the men of war, circling the city one time. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horn trumpets in front of the ark. But on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times while the priests blow the trumpets. When there's a prolonged blast of the horn and you hear its sound, have all of the troops give a mighty shout. Then the city will collapse and the troops will advance, each man straight ahead. I'm going to stop there because I'm sure you know the rest of the story. They did just that, and the walls of the city came down. Like I said, I used to love the story as a kid because we'd set a table in the middle of the room, and that was Jericho, and we'd all march around it, and we'd have trumpets made out of paper towel tubes and all kinds of stuff. But like I said, there's so much more to this story than just a simple kid story. After 40 long years of wandering in the wilderness prior to this, the Israelites were finally ready to begin claiming the promised land. The very first city that they had to face before they got there, though, was this great walled city called Jericho. And in its day, Jericho was a formidable fortress of a city. Scholars tell us that the city was surrounded by 2 great stone walls. The outer wall was 20 feet tall and 6 feet wide. And the inner wall was 30 feet tall and 12 feet wide. These 2 walls were separated by a 15-foot wide guarded walkway in between. The city only covered about 9 acres, but it must have looked to the children of Israel like an impossible thing for them to get through. with only spears and swords and some arrows. Jericho was a big hindrance to Israel, and it stood as an obstacle between them and what God had promised to give them. Before they could go deeper into the land the Lord had given them, Jericho had to be defeated. There was no way around it. Our text this morning, briefly, and you can go on, like I said, you can read, it actually ends further on in the chapter with Joshua and the Israelites doing just what they were commanded to do. And we see the city defeated and the impossible walls that surrounded it come crumbling down. We may wonder what a battle that was fought 3,000 or so years ago has to do with us today. You might say, well, it's a good story and it shows us that God cares and that God will give us this, but what more does it have to do with us today? I don't think any of us are going to be marching around any cities anytime soon to watch some walls come crumbling down. Before Jericho could be defeated, the walls that surrounded it had to come down. Israel couldn't get into the city. They needed the walls torn down. They could go no further until Jericho was completely destroyed. The city stood before them as a barrier between them and what God had promised them. If they're going to get all that God had for them, the walls had to be torn down. You might not even realize it today, but many of us have walls in our own life. We aren't standing on the other side of the Jordan River looking across, wondering how we're going to get past this giant city. It's not a literal city and walls, but we have some other walls that we've built ourselves many times in our lives. It might be some sin that stands between you and God's best. It might be some old hurt that someone has done against you that has grown into a root of bitterness, and now it stands as a barrier between you and what God has for you. It might be a cold and different spirit that's sprouted up within you and it's robbed you of all the joy and everything else that God has promised to give you. It might be a bad attitude. Whatever it is today, the good news is the walls in our life can be torn down just like the walls around Jericho. I want to show you the steps, though, that must be taken, because just as Joshua was given a battle plan of how to defeat this walled city, we have a plan as well to defeat the walls and to tear down the walls in our own life. First of all, something that we can see is you've got to fall at the right feet. You've got to fall at the right feet. I started this in verse 13 for a reason of chapter 5. We see before this, Joshua is doing a little bit of reconnaissance work, some intel work around the city of Jericho. He's alone. And he's busy, he's walking around in the middle of the night so he can't be seen by the enemy, trying to figure out what in the world they were going to do to get past this city. He was trying to come up with a plan, and no doubt he was confused, he was concerned, but then Joshua meets a man in the middle of the night standing before him with a sword already drawn in his hand. Now, I don't know about you, but if you were in the middle of a battlefield in the middle of the night, walking around trying to figure out what to do, and you come across someone in front of you with a weapon in their hand, it's a pretty scary situation. Joshua confronts this man, and then he asks him a question: are you for us? Are you for the people of Jericho, our enemy? The stranger responds not by answering Joshua's question, but he identifies himself as the commander of the Lord's army, the Lord of hosts. That name, if you look at this in the original Hebrew text, that name, the Lord of hosts, was the battle name of the God of Israel. Joshua realizes it's no ordinary meeting. This man standing before him is God in flesh. It's a manifestation of God, and he's come ready for battle with his sword in his hand. Joshua's reaction to the presence of the Lord is worthy of note, because he does exactly what we should do when we are confronted with the Lord. And especially when we're trying to figure out how to tear down the walled areas of our life. First of all, we see that we must recognize his authority. Joshua reacts not by starting asking, well, what are you doing here? How are we going to do this? The very first thing that he does is fall flat on his face in worship to God. He understood the truth that he may have been the commander of Israel's army, but he was standing face to face with his commander-in-chief. In other words, Joshua humbled himself in the presence of the Lord and clearly demonstrated he understood exactly who was in charge. It wasn't him. It wasn't some of his generals and his soldiers that were back in the camp. He was standing in the very presence of God. The first step in achieving victory in our lives and seeing the walls in our lives come down is to come to a place where we understand who is or who should be in charge. Neither you nor I are truly in command of our lives. We might try to take command and make plans and do everything on our own, but until you come to a realization that you can't do it on your own unless you surrender and fall flat on your face in front of God in worship, you'll get nowhere. And those walls will still be standing. And there'll still be a city that you can't get around standing between you and what God has promised. Who's calling the shots in your life this morning? Are you in the driver's seat, or do you determine where to go and what you do and how you live? Or can you honestly say that is like the words of the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ? If you want the walls to come down, you got to realize and recognize the authority of God. Not only should we recognize the authority, we must respect his authority as well. Joshua, at this point in his career, was a battle-hardened general. He responded to the authority of the Lord not by saying, well, do you know who I am? I know who you are, but do you know who I am? He doesn't question that authority. He falls flat on his face, bowing before him. It was a position of absolute vulnerability and surrender. If you're standing in front of a soldier, a warrior, anybody, and you fall flat on your face, there's not a whole lot that you can do if that person decides to turn on you and attack you. Joshua placed himself in a position of helplessness before the Lord. It's as if Joshua is saying, Lord, I'm your servant. Do with me what you will. Use me, bless me, kill me, whatever you want to do. I'm yours. It's what the Lord wants from us. He wants to place are all in his hands and just trust him to do whatever it is he wants us to do. If we truly want the walls in our lives torn down, we must come to a place where we literally, as the song we just sang a little bit ago, give up and let God take control. You may not like the sound of that. You might be here this morning and say, well, you know what? I don't like that at all. I like to be in charge. I like to call the shots. It's what you got to do if you want the victory. Not only should we recognize his authority and respect his authority, we must rest in his authority as well. We see Joshua as he removes his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. If you look into this story in other translations, he actually hands over his shoes to the Lord. And when you look at the culture of this time, that was a way of saying, I can't do this, but I know that you can. You're not standing on your own ground anymore. Joshua, at this point, whatever plan he had come up with in his mind to try to take this city with what little bit of resources he had, he had already thrown that away because he knew there was a bigger and a better plan that was in front of him. He reached a place of total and absolute surrender. And that's the secret, first of all, to seeing your walls fall down. You must come to a place where your all is at the feet of God. You stop struggling and trying to do it on your own, and you're simply resting in his ability and in his authority. Have you come to that place this morning? Have you symbolically taken your shoes off, handed them to the Lord, and said, here I am. Use me for whatever you want. It's a hard place to reach. Not only do you have to fall at the right feet, but if you go on in the story, you see that you've got to follow the right plan. We see that as soon as Joshua surrenders himself, God tells him exactly what to do to defeat those walls of Jericho. The Lord's plan is a bit unconventional, and I'm sure to Joshua, who had already fought battles in the past, this plan sounded completely ridiculous. He wasn't going to be coming in with weapons drawn, trying to catch the enemy by surprise. He wasn't going to try to breach the walls on his own. He was simply going to march around and do nothing. And then on the seventh day, march around a little bit more and then blow some trumpets and shout. And this was supposed to defeat this great city. Honestly, it's a pretty simple plan. For Joshua and Israel, I'm sure it was a much more simple plan than what Joshua had devised on his own. I'm sure he was trying to think, well, I'm going to send this unit here. I'm going to send this one here. I'm going to come around the back. I'm going to try to overwhelm them, and then we're going to try to break the gate. I'm sure it was much more simple. And it's the same thing with the plan that he has for our life. God didn't bring Israel out of Egypt just so they could fall and perish at Jericho. He saved them not so they could go a little bit farther and get to whatever next point it was, not so that they could just cross the Red Sea and then cross the Jordan. He saved them and pulled them out of Egypt so that they could go all the way to Canaan, the promised land that he had prepared for them. The same is true in your life. He hasn't brought you this far and kept you safe thus far in your life just so you can fall at whatever comes up in your life today. He brought you this far to take you all the way to the promised land that he has promised for us. He saved us to walk, not in defeat, but in victory. If you're lost this morning, believe in Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's the same thing that he's telling Joshua to do here. Trust in me. First, you have to trust him for salvation. If you are saved, then it goes a step further. You had to have faith that he will do exactly what he says he's going to do. God's plan for victory, regardless of whatever wall is in your life, regardless of whether it's like this and it's like Jericho and there's two walls and there's guards in between and it seems completely undefeatable, he will give you the victory if you simply trust in him. It's a simple plan. It's a strange plan. Must have sounded strange, like I said, to Joshua's ears. There was no talk of armor. There was no talk of which unit was going to go here and how many soldiers and how many swords. There was no talk of sieges or secret weapons that God was going to give them. God's plan simply involved the Ark of the Covenant going in front, the priests, the trumpets, and the people. I don't care who you are, that when you read this, it sounds like a strange plan. It doesn't sound like something that would give the children of Israel the victory. It makes no sense from a logical standpoint, but yet it's what God said to do. And at times these strange plans, sometimes there'll be strange plans and strange things that he wants us to do, and they sound completely impossible and ridiculous. That's when your faith steps in. God's plan boiled down to simply this: walking. They were to walk in the right order, in the right path, for the right period of time. And they were promised the victory. God's plan for us is just as strange, because once you accept Christ, you would think that there would be this great big grand thing. But honestly, the only one real thing that he asks you to do is nothing but trust in him. We see later on, if I were to go on and read this, and I'm sure you know the story, they did just what God told them to do. And that, although it was strange and although it was simple, and I'm sure, I don't know how many of you have ever seen VeggieTales, the movies. I really liked them when I was growing up. And honestly, I probably would still watch them today if I still had them. They do a VeggieTales on the Battle of Jericho. And the little peas and the cucumbers and all the vegetables are marching around the walls of Jericho. And you see, the soldiers of Jericho were grapes. And they had a little French accent and they said, oh, you little peas and all this thing. They're sitting on the walls and they're making fun of the children of Israel. You think you can march around and do this? What's going to happen? They were sorely surprised when it did happen. But no matter what you do beforehand, no matter, maybe you start the right way and you say, God, here I am, and you fall flat on your face and surrender to him, and you listen to the plan and you say, okay, this is what we're going to do. The third and final thing that you've got to do is you have to finish the right way. When the city when the walls of the city came down, the people of Israel were able to go in and defeat it for the glory of God. They saw the walls fall down and they enjoyed the victory. But before the day was finished and before the victory was won, they had to do and finish what the Lord had told them to do. They had to claim the city. They had to conquer it. And the same is true in your life. Whatever walls have been brought up this morning, whatever is in your life, and whatever is blocking your vision from seeing God, whatever is blocking you from getting to the point where God wants you to be, just like the children of Israel, they're standing in front of this great city looking up saying, how in the world are we going to do this? God has given you the plan. You got to trust Him. You got to follow Him. You got to recognize His authority. You've got to surrender to Him. And then you just have to follow the plan. But suppose the children of Israel on that seventh day, here for the previous 6 days, they'd marched around one time each day. And then on the seventh day, maybe they said, you know what, this is impossible. This isn't going to happen. And instead of marching around seven times and then blowing the trumpets like God had told them to do, they said, this is it. Joshua, you're crazy. Get away. We're taking over and we're going to do it our way. And they just rushed in and tried to conquer the city on their own. Do you think the walls would have come crumbling down? Do you think that they would have won victory over this great walled city with no more little force than what they had to conquer this city with? No, obviously not. And the same is true in our lives this morning. If you think that you can do it on your own, or maybe you've been following the right path and you just got discouraged and you said, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm going to go do this my way. You're not going to have the victory this morning. I can promise you that. You're going to live defeated with the wall still standing, blocking you from the joy and the victories that comes along because you're following Christ. Read about a story about a massive oak tree, and a vine had grown up along its trunk. The vine started small, nothing to worry about. But over the years, as the tree grew, the vine grew as well, and it got taller and taller and thicker and thicker. And after many years, the entire lower half of this giant oak tree was covered by the vine. And I'm sure you've seen vines like this growing up houses and walls and things like this with the little creepers that go out and attach themselves. The mass of these tiny things was so thick that the tree looked as though it had an innumerable bird's nest around it because of the little fibers that were coming out of this vine. And the great tree was in serious danger. The huge, solid oak tree that seemed immeasurable was quite literally being taken over. The life was being literally squeezed out of it by this little vine. The gardeners in this particular park had seen the danger, and they had taken a saw and they severed the trunk, not of the tree, but of the vine. One neat cut across the middle, and the tangled mass of the vine's branches still clung to the oak, but the vine was now dead. And it would gradually become plain as weeks passed, and all the little creepers that came off of this vine slowly began to die and fall away from the tree. How easy it is, just like the vine on that tree, for sin and other things to start small, and then they grow into this massive thing that's literally wrapped itself entirely around you, strangling the life out of you, choking you almost to death. What kind of vines do you have in your life this morning? What kind of walls have been built in your life that are blocking you in, that are keeping you from reaching the joy, getting deeper with the Lord? Is it worth it to you this morning? Wouldn't you like to get past the here and now in your life? Maybe things are good. Things can always be better. Trust me, they can always be better. No matter how good it is, it can always be, in the Lord, it can always be better. If so, you can begin the process right now. You got to fall at the right feet. You got to follow the right path, and then you simply have to finish the job the right way. Whatever walls you've built in your life this morning, you have the plan given by the very same person who gave the plan to Joshua, the commander of the Lord's army, God himself. You have the plan. You have all the details. It's just a matter of choosing. Am I going to stay right where I'm at? For the Israelites, you know the story. Time and time again, they said, why don't you just let us go back to Egypt? Go back to slavery in Egypt. We had it better there. At least we were eating figs and honey and all these things. All we've got here is this old manna stuff that I'm tired of. All we do is march around in the wilderness for 40 years. If they'd given up and gone back, the story would have been completely different. But instead, we see that God brought them across everything that came up in their life, whether it was a walled city like Jericho, whether it was an army that was standing in their way, whether it was the Red Sea that they had to cross, the Jordan River, all of these things. In spite of their times of doubt, in spite of their times of rebellion, God still brought them through it. And he can do the same for you this morning. However tall that wall that you've built looks, and it might seem like there's no way around this, I'm just going to sit in my corner and just wait it out, because there's no way I can get through this. God is standing there before you with this sword drawn, ready to fight the battle for you, whatever that might be. Ready to tell you how to get the victory, because he's already told us. He's just ready to go before you, leading the way to tear down those walls. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. I pray that as we're here, whatever things we might have allowed to creep into our life this morning, whatever sin, whatever the case might be, if there's someone that we need to make things right with and apologize, if there's someone that we just need to restore a relationship with, if there's worry and doubt, whatever the case might be, whatever is keeping us from being where you want us to be this morning, we pray that you would help us to fall flat on our face and surrender all of those things to you. Your word tells us to cast or roll our burden upon you, and you will carry us through it. If there's someone here this morning that within the sound of my voice that has heard these things and they said, you know, all that sounds good, and I have those problems in my life too, but Jesus and this God and all these things that you've talked about this morning, I don't know, because I haven't started that relationship, because they haven't accepted you for salvation. This morning I pray that they would do that, because that is the first step, is surrender everything that they have to you in salvation. Lord, we thank you for the victory that you've promised us, and we pray that you'd help us to have faith and trust in that victory, and that you will keep us safe until your return. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.